Do you ever talk to yourself? I do it all the time. We do it, I should say, because that's how it sounds in my head. When I'm following a map, for instance, we're going to turn right on Vicolo de Lepardo, go past the bar with the mosaic tiles, and then we know where we are. It's an old habit. For the first time I can remember, I cannot locate my competent self. One more missing person. In the last few months, I have lost my son, my spouse, and my house. Every morning I wake up and for a few seconds I'm disoriented, confused as to why I feel grief seeping into my body. And then I remember what has become of my life. I am thunderstruck by feeling at odd times, and then I find myself gripping the kitchen counter, a subway pole, a friend's body, so I won't fall over. I don't mean that figuratively. My sorrow is so intense, it often feels like it will flatten me. It's all so over the top. Am I in an Italian opera, a Greek tragedy, or is it just some weirdly grim sitcom? A few weeks ago, my neighbors came by my house on Shelter Island. They wanted to meet the baby. He's dead, I had to tell them. I felt bad because what are they supposed to say to that? They said, "We're so sorry." They said, "Soon it will be summer and you can work in your beautiful garden." "Not exactly," I explained. "We have to sell the house. I'm here to pack up." I know those poor people. They were silent as they searched for something safe to land on. And then they asked where my spouse was. I didn't have the heart to tell them. Until recently, I lived in a world where lost things could always be replaced. But it has been made overwhelmingly clear to me now that anything you... But it has been made overwhelmingly clear to me now that anything you think is yours by right can vanish. And what you can do about that is nothing at all. The future I thought I was meticulously crafting for years has disappeared. And with it have gone my ideas about the kind of life I had imagined I was due. People have been telling me since I was a little girl that I was too fervent, too forceful, too much. I thought I had harnessed the power of my own strength and greed and love in a life that could contain it. But it has exploded. That's the opening to The Rules Do Not Apply, a fantastic memoir by Ariel Levy. The rules, as most of us know them, surely don't apply in this delightful and moving memoir of growing into adulthood in this modern world by New Yorker staff writer Ariel Levy. As her subtitle puts it so well, "I thought I had harnessed the power of my own strength and greed and love in a life that could contain it, but it has exploded." Part post-young adult, not quite fully adult as society defines adult, part coming out story, then part growing into midlife adulthood, and tell all with a sly wit and demeanor. The Rules Do Not Apply is a read for those of us open to an alternative reading of urban and rural America by coastal in more ways than one. As she presents herself in this memoir, Levy is not one to follow the rules of childhood or teenage years or of adulthood for that much, though she does fit in well with her parents' laissez-faire love upbringing. And those cover the first chapters of the book and cover them very well. Filled with passion for life, for her hoped-for career, and for her lovers, Levy is at once shocking and endearing as she moves from the traditional middle-class motifs to wild-about-town lesbianism, always with a sense of self still developing and a deep sense of wanting to belong to the community in which she was raised, no matter how radical her actions may appear to others on any given day. Levy loves her partner, Lucy, in so many ways, she tells us, telling us again and again of Lucy's sun-like smile, her easy way with taking care of the physical parts of their lives. Lucy, you see, is the family driver, the fix-it guru, the moneymaker. But the most moving and at times hilarious chapters of the book focus on Levy and her partner, Lucy's efforts to have a baby. Levy and Lucy convince their good friend to donate his sperm for the effort, not a very difficult effort, we learn. And we're then along for the ride as Levy and her then unconventional family are off on a journey into pregnancy that Levy, a first-time mom in her late 30s, finds exhilarating, confusing, filled with amazing love and compassion. Levy worries at first that folks from her family, and just folks who notice she is pregnant at the grocery store, will be dismissive of her and Lucy's efforts to have a child. But she finds that unconventionality is thrown to the winds when a pregnant woman takes center stage. Here she tells us a little bit about the changes that were happening with her early in that pregnancy that speak to those issues. As she writes, "Nature does something very shrewd to pregnant women. She makes them preoccupied with the babies inside of them, so that by the time they give birth, they are already accustomed to feeling focused on their offspring, obsessed with their well-being. And so it is that infants survive. I was intent. Who was in there? At week 7, your baby is the size of a blueberry, the woman in the video on the pregnancy website told me, with dark spots that would become eyes. It seems silly to be fixated on someone the size of a blueberry, but things were happening so fast. Just a few weeks later, I could hear the galloping heartbeat of the person inside of me on a machine at the doctor's office. I pictured him shy and contemplative, a tiny human Ferdinand the Bull sitting under a cork tree in my stomach. But then the ultimate tragedy strikes, twice in this moving memoir. First, as Levy takes a fateful trip to the nation of Mongolia, a nation wedged between China and Russia, on the hunt for a great story about a developing nation growing into its own after 70 years of colonial rule by the Soviet Union. Levy is exhilarated by the thrill of visiting a nation whose capital city, Ulaanbaatar, is an amalgam of high-rise sophistication and nomadic yurt cultures. Heavily polluted in the late November when she is visiting, regularly experiencing far below zero temperatures at night. And so it happens that one fateful night, unfolding so well for Levy as she is about to interview one of the nation's highest-ranking officials, that she is overtaken by a horrible physical pain that drives her back to her ultra-modern hotel room in the Mongolian capital city. There, alone and in agony, Levy gives birth, a much too early birth, to the boy that she and Lucy had been dreaming about raising as their child. The birth of the live, but much too early child introduces her to a kindly South African doctor at the downtown hospital to which she and her child are rushed by ambulance, a doctor with whom Levy shares her shell-shocked grief and with whom she continues to correspond by email long after their grueling evening of desperation. Returning home, alone, to her life in her apartment in New York City, Levy finds that her beloved companion Lucy, with whom Levy has experienced so many ups and downs, arguments, and makings up, has been cheating on her for years with alcohol. Lucy checks into rehab to get her life back together, but Levy, a tangle of emotional loss, disappointment, anger, makes the painful decision to pull away. Now nearing 40, Levy finds herself at a high point in her journalism career, but at a low point she could never have imagined in her personal life. The Rules Do Not Apply ends with Ariel Levy's musings about her life as it could have been, and her life and her hopes for going forward. This strong woman, who threw convention to the wind as a young adult, who suffered the unbelievable agony of the death of her child, whose relationship with her partner fell apart, still has hope and finds joy as we conclude our book. We are blessed today with a wealth of beautifully written, well-themed, and plotted biographies and memoirs. Indeed, I'll suggest we are living in a new golden age of memoir and biography we haven't experienced in decades. So it is exciting for me to recommend this title to your stack of books to read. Ariel Levy has the writer's ability to pull us into her story from the very first sentence and the knack of keeping us turning her pages in anticipation of the next paragraph of prose. I want to finish by reading from the book and reading the second last chapter of The Rules Do Not Apply, where Levy talks about her life after her blueberry child has passed and after her lover Lucy has left her life. Despite all of that pain and all of that anger and all of that disappointment, she finds a way to go on. And she tells us in these words, "Something is happening. Something very small and very new is sending up a shoot inside of me. It's a sprout of surrender that feels somehow indistinguishable from safety. It is not emanating from a plan. For the first time in my life, I have no plan. I wanted to grow, I want it to overcome me like a bright vine following a fading tree. Also, I want my son. I want to feel his mouth on my breast. I want to teach him the names of all the plants. I want to see him on his father's lap and in my mother's arms. I will never know another day when he isn't missed. I want my son, but I can't have him. For Lucy, I feel more tenderness and intensity than I can fit inside my chest. She feels like kin, like blood. I don't want to be without her in my life, but our marriage is over. Slowly, we will become something else to each other. I don't want to give up my home, the garden where I can remember planting every flower, the circle of stones that marks Paolo's resting place, where he lies in an endless embrace with his sex bunny. But it isn't mine to keep. I want to be fertile. I never want to expire. But death comes for us. What first? What else? What next? As everything else has fallen apart, what has stayed intact is something I always had, the thing that made me a writer, curiosity, hope. It's a fantastic memoir. It may at first sound like it's full of grief and death and unbelievable pain, but there are moments of hilarity here. There are moments of clarity. There are moments when Levy is just so beautifully self-observing and self-sharing with us that it is a book I will long remember, and it's a book I hope you have a chance to pick up and read as well. The Rules Do Not Apply. I thought I had harnessed the power of my own strength and greed and love in a life that could contain it, but it has exploded. By Ariel Levy. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.